The revolution will be broadcast.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only, Mystifying Oracle Radio. Your ghost man, a demon hunter show, demon hunter.
Ghost man.
What's going on, pal?
Well, all hope is lost.
Yeah.
All joy is lost.
Lost.
Everything is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Spreaker, Attentive Home Healthcare, good people ready to help the ones you love, especially if you're in Indianapolis, AttentiveHHC.com, the SWL Project, give some love, share some love, everybody needs love, the SWL Project.com, and everybody else around the world that I know I forgot, thanks everybody for being so cool, and welcome back to studio.
Hey brother, are we broadcasting right now?
Absolutely, without a doubt, 100% hands down, we are live.
Okay. So we've got a bit of a delay because I haven't found it yet on my site, but that's good.
Well,
that's good. That's good. That means if we make a mistake, I can start going la, 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 and that'll cover it up, right?
Yeah. Wait, we can go right back into the archives, actually, and we've done this probably about three times on every place we broadcast. I remember the first time we went on Spreaker, I think it was the second one, you go, "We're not going live, I don't think." And we were on the air live, remember?
Well, see, I'm so used to when we go live, we're live.
Yeah.
That's it. We're there. There's like a 3-second delay.
Well, let me show you on this Spreaker. You're familiar with the studio setup because you have it on your
I am familiar with the studio setup.
And it says live, and it's got that red dot that pops up.
The great big giant red dot that you can't miss, yes.
But it's in the far right-hand corner, and you know, I don't know. Maybe there is. I don't know how long the delay is. I've never actually watched us live.
It's probably my computer because, you know, I do buy them from those vague yet menacing government agencies that like to watch everything we do. And they might have software on here.
That's all.
So they can watch all our all our goings on.
They're all watching us.
Yes. And that way they know what we're doing. And there's a little bit of a delay. That's fine, though, because that's what the government's there for, to make us all safer.
That's right. They're here to make it safer. I feel warm and fuzzy inside, but we are back tonight. We got a heck of a show for you. Nathan and I brought it home once again. We're going to do a little Walking Dead, a little American Horror Story tonight, Nate.
Little Glades, which is a show that ended way too soon.
Little Glades. Tonight's guest!
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Aha! Yes. Tonight's guest, guys, he's an American actor. Known for playing interesting and diverse roles, his amazing career has included... Are you ready, Nate?
Always ready.
Yeah. His amazing career is... has included interesting and diverse roles. His works on such films as Zodiac, Fargo, Gran Torino, and Shutter Island. He's appeared on numerous television series, most recently known for his role as Twisty the Clown on American Horror Story. Ooh, I love American Horror Story. That was one of my favorites. Scared a
lot
of people.
I haven't watched the new season, have you?
No, I have not. I stopped with Twisted Clown. I don't think they could beat it. Also known for his role, of course, on the AMC smash hit as Eastman on The Walking Dead. Tonight, actor, director, producer, and all-around swell guy, John Carroll Lynch stops by studio with your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. We're going to go inside and behind the scenes of AMC's awesome, awesome show that we all love, The Walking Dead, American Horror Story, and so much more, right here at the home of the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Yeah.
Well, I was, just to go back to what I was saying before, Sean, I haven't watched this season.
You haven't watched
American, of American Horror Story.
Hmm.
I literally I watched the next to last episode of American Horror Story, the Freak Show, and I never saw the last episode.
Okay.
And you know how I've been running around for like the last 6 months. I've barely had time to do anything.
Right. You're going to have to admit that to John tonight. You're going to say, I haven't watched
I will not tell him. Well, John, I didn't see your big climax.
Really like your stuff, John. Just don't watch it regularly.
No, I watched all but one episode of John's series, but did not see the new series that John's not in.
No, I get that. I haven't followed up, man. I was hooked on The Freak Show. It really called to me.
Magic and Wonder. I mean, season one, mm-hmm. I loved season one.
Yeah, who didn't?
Season two was good, a little confusing, but good. Right. Season three was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then season four with Freak Show, I was really getting into it. And I just never saw the very last episode.
Right.
And I can't bring myself to watch the new season until I get back and watch that last episode.
Right. Well, look, you know, I don't think anybody's going to argue with the fact that our guest tonight, Mr. John Carroll Lynch, had iconic roles, especially in American Horror Story, but lovable role in The Walking Dead. And he's touched two big, I guess, what would you call it right now? It's a movement going across the world, The Walking Dead and American Horror Story. I mean, it's taken TV by storm. This
they
is
really
like,
are, and
we've it, interviewed it, people on this show, like if we were back in the 80s, it'd be like interviewing JR. That's how big Dallas was. You know? We've had him on here, man.
Sitting there going, tell me, JR, who shot you?
Who shot you? You know, inside, we're going to see if we can't get a little spoilage, you know.
We will only tell our listeners. We won't tell anyone else.
No, we're not going to tell anybody. We'll have to see if we can't fool John into, of course we wouldn't, fool John into getting some inside scoop on what might be happening on The Walking Dead. Because he spent, you know, months out there filming with Morgan. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you know, the funny thing is, too. They say,
you know who played Morgan, right? Lenny Jones.
That the actors of The Walking Dead do not know who's died.
That's what they say, yeah.
So they're filming now.
Yeah.
The final scene or the first scenes of the next season. Do you think they'll do it the way that they've done it in the past where they'll film? See, if I was planning the next season of Walking Dead, I would film the next season and have everybody in it, every single actor.
Okay.
And then the last one that I would film be the first episode for the season.
Would that be the last one or the second to the last?
No, that would be the last scene that I would film.
Last scene.
Not the last one I would show. Uh-huh. The last one that I would film would be the first scene of this season where we find out who got killed by Negan. Mm-hmm. And then I just go through and cut the person out of the whole season.
So you go in reverse.
Yeah. And that way, nobody, until the very last scene was filmed,
yeah,
the very last show was filmed, nobody would know who died.
Yeah. They need your help. You need to call AMC.
They do. I should be working on that show. We should be working on that show, Sean. Yeah. We should be there saying, this is what we got
to
do.
No. Why would they allow us to work on their show?
Because we're so incredibly talented.
I know.
And people love us.
All we do is free promote, and then we go back to work. Why would they allow us to be part of something cool and actually pay us, you know?
Because you look really cool with that Abraham Lincoln beard.
I do.
And yeah. I really resemble Colonel Sanders.
No.
Got things going for us.
I'm bitter, Nathan. I'm starting. I think tonight's one of those nights where I'm a bitter, bitter man. We've done so much for, you know, so many things out there. And like Chris Cornhole, he just, you know, will not respond to our Twitter.
We've been trying to get on that show for years and we didn't get on. And so now you're going to be mean. That's not fair.
Really? Is that how you
feel? Not fair.
Listen, tonight's not the night to try to correct me, my friend, my co-host.
Put your franks and beans back in your mouth.
Because I have took shit for quite some time from these people.
All right, we just became an explicit show for
this
season.
No, I actually found out you can actually use curse words. You cannot use three major curse words. Referring with a god in the title on Spreaker. One referring to the F word. And there's another one, but it wasn't just used, so.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Maybe it's you have to use something more than three times.
I see.
Word, something like that. There was something.
Well, that's like the F word. You're allowed to use the F word in a movie.
I'm here for the gangbang.
And it's still a rated PG-13 movie.
Right.
Oh,
but if
good.
You use it more than once, it's a rated R movie.
Huh.
That's why so many movies you'll watch, and at the very end, the F word will slip out right at the end of the movie.
Right. It'll come right out there.
And that's because they can use it once, and it's still a PG-13 movie.
Well, yeah. Still PG-13. No, it's just, you see, I don't know, whatever. So moving on, man, what else is going on?
I don't know. What are you doing? You're moving.
Been looking at houses, got a lot of stuff going on. Getting ready to change studio space, buddy.
I know. That's got to be crazy because we've spent the last 10 years getting the studios just right.
Yeah, well, it won't be hard. Hopefully, we say that, and then it'll take another 6 years to get it back to where we need it to be, studio-wise.
Yeah, well, it'll all be good. It'll be fine. Just don't let the kids play with the wires when you take apart the soundboard.
I prefer to let the kids play with the wires. So anyway, talking about the
ones
Walking
that
Dead
are plugged
stuff,
into
I don't know what to do with
sockets.
Myself on Sunday nights because, with The Walking Dead off the air now, I don't know, American Horror Story is not even on now, is it? Not right now.
So,
no. Yeah. I don't know, but I haven't been, I don't know what to do on Sunday nights now. Without the show, I mean, we got our show. But
what are you
going to
do for the next 2 weeks? We've got no show for the next 2 weeks, Sean. Our listeners need to know that. There's no show for the next 2 weeks, folks.
Go ahead and tell them about that.
That's right, folks. Next weekend is the Memorial Day weekend.
Good grief.
Are you going to be with your sons, Sean?
No, actually, I am not. So I'm going to take the Memorial Day to sit back and relax.
That's a good thing. You should relax. You need to relax, Sean.
I do.
I feel for you sometimes. I really look at you and go, poor Sean, he needs to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I will be leaving for Disney World.
Oh, yeah, going to Disney. Congratulations.
Going to Disney World, and I will be gone for a week, and that means we're going to miss two shows. And because Sean and I, when we decided to bring back the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, for those of you been along with us long enough to remember that we were off the air for a little while, and we decided to bring it back, we said, you know what? No guest hosts.
That's right.
We were like Jay Leno. Remember when Jay Leno took over the Tonight Show? And he had gotten the Tonight Show because he'd been a guest host and he didn't want anybody to steal it from him. He said, no guest hosts.
I think
hey,
he
what's
said
that about?
I think he said it more like, hey, I don't think we should have any guest hosts now.
I've been thinking about this.
I was watching those somewhere out there in the bizarre world. There has to be like a podcast internet wars where there's these, like we could care less. But there's got to be other people out there because you build these franchise shows, and they all are looking to, make their impact. People like to have, listeners and followers. And I wonder how many of them up there are like Dave and Letterman and the guy you were just talking about, Jay Leno. You know how they had the late night wars after Johnny died, Johnny Carson? After Johnny went down and they fought and cutthroat and... You wonder if it's worth it, Is it worth it, those guys fighting each other over that?
This is what I have to say to our listeners. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show has never gotten involved with a war. Even when we were on TV and people came after us, we said, hey, you have your right to your opinion.
Yeah, that's what we said.
But folks, we've been doing that. We're going on our 10-year anniversary. 10 years.
10 years!
Most of the people that Sean hangs out with aren't even 10 years old yet.
Most of the women I know. Oh, you almost got me. I didn't know he was going to go as low as 10. I thought maybe 18. I thought he was going to say 18.
Well,
I got to listen.
Considering your daughter brings her friends over to party, I think most of the girls that hang out at your house aren't 10 yet.
That's right.
But we've been
that
around
sounds
long
so
than
wrong,
the
folks.
Women in your house.
That sounds so wrong. Most of the chicks that hang out at my house aren't 10. It's my daughter's friends.
And that the scary thing is that it's really kind and innocent, but we make it sound bad.
Yes.
But we've been doing this for 10 years. And we love every single one of you. All of our listeners, you're great.
All four of you, we love you out there.
All four of you who actually talk to us, which is why I'm asking now. That if you are a Ghost Man and Demon Hunter listener, which I know you're out there because we see the downloads, please, please come to Facebook. Please go to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show page and just put a note up there. email us at contact@ghostanddemon.com. Say, we really appreciate that you've put 10 years of your life into this, because it's hard, folks, to come here every week and see other pages that have only 100 listeners and 50 of them go on and say, hey, keep this going, blah, blah, blah. And we have thousands of listeners, and we love being there for your entertainment, folks.
I need to go to my quiet like to hear place. From you.
And it's really tough when I have to say something that's so heartfelt, and Sean is playing crappy little sound bites behind me. So it's
I'm ready for sex.
Well, we have to remember we're a comedy show. So if I didn't do that when we were doing something heartfelt, so people don't care. They just don't care anymore.
Nobody cares, and I'm getting tired of it.
They
get tired,
care.
Sean.
They don't care, Nathan.
You know, I am tired. I just drove from Connecticut, Danbury, Connecticut, to Rochester, New York, which is about a 6.5 hour drive. I drove up there just to support some fellow bikers from the Widow's Sons who were putting on a rally to support our troops, actually to support our troops who have returned home.
That's good. Absolutely. Great. Good
and
calls.
Then I turned around and I drove 6.5 hours home.
It's a long
haul. I drove 13 hours to spend 12 hours with my friends.
There you go. So you've been partying all night, huh?
I am hurting, man.
Hurting. Well,
it is, and it's tough because you get up there and everybody's so happy to see you. They buy you your food. They buy you your drinks. Mm-hmm. Those vague yet menacing government agencies provide you with all the little chips in your body that you need to get through the door.
Yeah.
And then when it's all done, you come home and you feel like you've gained 50 pounds. Have you ever gone away for a weekend, Sean, and you come home and your pants don't fit anymore?
Oh, you kidding me? Yeah. After Comic-Con, we did. My pants didn't fit. Yeah. We drank enough beer that night, I think, to...
Speaking of Comic-Con, Sean, our listeners need to know about the upcoming PopCon that the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show will not be there.
Yeah. Do you want to tell them or you want me to break the bad news?
You can break the bad news. It's not anybody's fault, folks. Mm-hmm. Please go to PopCon. If it interests you, go there.
It's
enjoy
amazing.
It. Sadly, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show will not be there.
So anyway, guys, PopCon in Indiana, we were going to do it weekend June 17th through the 19th. We were scheduled. We were going to be there on the Saturday, the 17th. Just could not do the numbers. Cannot make it happen, Cap'n. So we're going to try to do it next year in 2017, see what happens. Our schedules are just conflicting, and there's so many big, big stars there. And so little space for everybody. We want to make sure that we can get a... get up front and personal. So they assured us next year, definitely we're going to start planning it earlier so we can work out our schedules and get Nathan here in town. It's a hard travel arrangement when you do what we do. Cause we're not, you know, like if you get Andrew Lincoln from The Walking Dead, these conventions pay for, you know, $2,000 a day or whatever. And then they'll pay for his hotel, stuff like that. Nathan and I, we come basically pack our own stuff, entertain you folks, maybe get a free hotel room. That's the life of a radio host.
That's then. The good weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a flip side to that. We come, we pack up everything, we entertain you guys just for publicity to sell the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, and we get nothing but to meet you guys. That's
to
true
sell
love.
Sell the show we make no money from.
I always thought that was the best part. Just
it
like,
really is. I mean... I remember when we first got started, Sean, I was really intense. Mm-hmm. We had to have a booth, and I had to sit at that booth for the 12 hours that convention was open. Yeah. I had to meet and greet every single person, and Sean would be like, let's go do this, let's go do that. And I was like, no, we have to sit right here. And now we go, we entertain you, and then we walk around and meet every single one of you. And I think we make a better connection that way, Sean, than when we ever had a booth.
I don't know. We always said, you know, you guys go to, they always say you watch college baseball and college football and basketball because that's where the guys are really trying hard because they're trying to get the, you know, the big sports contracts or whatever. It's the same thing with anything else, actors, radio people, whatever. We've already been to Hollywood and back. It'd be nice to go get paid to do something we love again. But we do it because we love to see you guys. So... when we go out there, you're getting 100% entertainment for the price of, oh, our back. That's about it. Mm-hmm. For the price of a ticket. So it's entertaining, and we love doing it, and it's awesome meeting all the people out there. But Nathan, I think we boo-hooed enough around here. It's time for In the News.
What news do you have for us this week, Sean?
Well, first off, let me just say it's always fresh. It's always exciting. It's strange and weird, and it's straight from the GD Show vaults. And it starts right
now.
There you go. First up, Nate, you want to give the rules?
That's right, folks. There's going to be one story outside the rules tonight, Sean. But for most of the stories, let's just say that if you hear the bell, that means Sean and I made a mistake. Why did we make a mistake? Because we picked the news right out of the papers because we like the titles. If we haven't read them in advance, so sometimes you're going to have to drink up, folks. That's why it's called the G&D drinking game. Every time you hear a mistake, you take a drink. If you're planning on driving while listening to the show, please don't play the G&D drinking game. And, of course, if you're doing anything important, please listen responsibly.
First up the bat, brother, from our G&D show vaults, Obama on the brink of alien and UFO disclosure.
What?
President could make announcement before end of his term, says our good friend Stephen Bassett.
I did not hear this story, Sean. This was not in my G&D vault.
I threw one off of you there. I had a little special when I went to throw it at you. I like to shake it up a little bit. Yeah, anyway, according to Stephen Bassett, who's been on our show, Nate, in the past, yeah, a leading UFO disclosure lobbyist, there is reason to believe that the President Barack Obama is on the brink of making an earth-shaking UFO and extraterrestrial disclosure announcement before he leaves office at the end of his term. Bassett, 69 years old, the executive director of U.S.-based Paradigm Research Group, that's PRG, believes that following Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's UFO and alien disclosure campaign promise. You remember that, Nate, right?
Yes, I do.
That's when she, yeah. Anyway. After her little promise there, President Obama has come under a pressure, and he is on the brink of caving into the pressure by making an announcement to the world before he leaves office that intelligent extraterrestrial beings have visited Earth before. According to UK's The Daily Express, Mr. Bassett, the only registered alien disclosure lobbyist in the U.S., has spearheaded a UFO disclosure campaign spanning two decades. His organization has lobbied members of Congress and the executive branch of government to declassify all files on UFO and extraterrestrial life. In a recent interview with the Daily Express, Bassett, bubbling with optimism, said recent developments have led members of the UFO disclosure movement to the conviction that their efforts over the decades are about to bear fruit. There you go, guys.
Hey, man, I'm going to go blue this month.
You're going to go week. Blue?
Blue.
Ooh.
Do you know what that term means?
No.
The old blue films, if something was a blue film, it was like a porno, the early pornos kind of thing.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
Yeah, so I'm going blue, because my story this week is people are going nuts over disturbingly realistic penis lipsticks.
Ew!
Okay, let's be clear. This comes to us from the Huffington Post, folks.
Let's be clear.
These very phallic lipsticks aren't really a new thing.
Okay.
They've been around since at least 2013 based on Amazon reviews.
Okay.
Because, Sean, everything on Amazon we know to be true.
Absolutely.
But after Instagram user Prozac Morris posted a photo of them Thursday on BuzzFeed, subscriptions wrote about them. The very products are rearing their glittery heads all over the internet.
Oh, my goodness.
So basically, Sean, I recommend people go to.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking at this. I recommend they go to Huffington Post and check out the photos, because 90% of this story is photos.
Yeah.
But by judging by Amazon reviews, these penis lipsticks made by a company called Mushroom.
Hey, can you say penis on the air?
I think we can. It's on the internet. It must be okay.
I guess. I don't know.
Are actually pretty good quality.
Okay.
The one complete... have a drink.
Yep.
The one complaint people seem to have is that they seem to get squished in transit. I know how they feel. And nobody wants a squished penis lipstick. When they seem to... I'm sorry. While they seem... Have a drink. I'm letting everybody get drunk tonight. While they seem like the perfect idea for a bachelorette party,
yeah,
or a similar event, where you're kind of more interested in just wiping those out everyday use kind of things, if only to see the reaction of standers-by, they are still extremely popular. Sean, if I saw a girl pull out a penis lipstick... sitting next to me at the bar.
It sounds so dirty.
I know. Am I ruining our show? Are we explicit now, Sean?
I hope so. What's this world coming to?
Aren't afraid of drawing unwanted attention, folks, don't worry. Like any lipstick, we suspect it is the...
Yes.
Sorry. My page just went blank.
Oh, I hate when that happens. You're getting the bell anyway.
Yeah, I deserve it. What happened here?
I don't know.
We suspect it will lose their shape soon enough. So go out and buy some penis lipstick, folks. That's right, Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, brought to you by Penis Lipstick.
Go out and buy today. Yeah, great story.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I like
you
it.
Always get the dirty stories.
So I know. I like that one. It was good. Okay, I'm up. You're done with that one, right?
Yeah, I'm done with that one.
All right. Huffington Post, you know, the penis lipstick out of a woman's purse, pulls it out at the bar. That just, it's perfect. It was great delivery, Nathan.
No, it wasn't, but that's okay. Thank you.
I loved it. Huff Post Weird News. Thanks, guys. Title of this article. Okay, who put the man-eating Nile crocodiles in Florida?
I'm so glad you picked that story.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're getting ready to go down that way. Yeah, something to worry about on top of your shark fear and everything else. Anyway.
But crocodiles are different. I'm not afraid of crocodiles.
Yeah, well, I am. If they're
not fish. I'm only afraid of fish.
Yeah, crocodiles are fine. If you thought that crocodiles in Florida were looking a little bigger and hungrier for people lately, you may be onto something. Three reptiles... there we go. Not talking
There's a drink, anymore. Folks. There's a drink.
Three reptiles captured between 2000 and 2014 in South Florida were Nile crocodiles. University of Florida researchers confirm in a report published in April in the Journal of Herpetological Conservation and Biology. Nile crocodiles native to Africa can reach 20 feet in length and weigh up to 1,650 pounds, according to National Geographic. An average length and weight, however, is more than likely 16 feet and 500 pounds, for comparison. American crocodiles can also reach up to 20 feet in length, but rarely get longer than 14 feet in the wild, according to the National Park Service. And while American crocodiles are reclusive and typically shy away from people, Nile crocodiles have a rep for chowing down on humans. Yeah.
Okay.
And don't take too much comfort in the fact that researchers only found three. The odds that the few of us who study Florida reptiles have found all of the Nile crocs out there are probably unlikely. What'd you say? Herpetological?
Herpetology.
Herpetology collections manager at the Florida Museum of Natural History said in University of Florida news release. He said the odds that the few of us who study Florida reptiles have found all of Nile crocs out there is probably unlikely. Okay.
See, Sean, that's okay, because you're used to herbology,
yeah,
where they collect the herb.
So how the heck did these potentially human flesh-hungry crocs get to the wilds of Florida? Dumb humans, most likely. Plenty of crocodiles have been imported into the U.S., not only to live at places like zoos and Disney's Animal Kingdom, but also for the exotic pet trade, because a person eating 20-foot croc sounds like a great pet. Hardy har. Researchers suspect those pets ended up in the wild either by escaping or from people releasing them, Nathan. There you go.
You know what, Sean? That's exactly how we wound up with pythons and boa constrictors and everything else down there.
Yeah.
Not to mention the waterways are packed full of tropical fish.
Yeah.
There was a report several years ago of fish coming in on airways, like on airlines.
Right.
and not getting through customs. So the people, rather than trying to take them through customs because they knew they were going to get caught, just dumped them in a stream or something like that right by the airport.
Right.
It's those airline people, Sean. What are you going to do about it?
You can't trust airline people, Nathan. Nobody wants to trust airline people.
Hey, Sean, one last thing. Want to get this news out there because it is our G&D in the news, and we'd like to keep people up to date. Sinead O'Connor has been found, Sean.
Really? I didn't know she was lost.
She was. She was last seen driving around her home
on
a motorized bicycle.
Okay.
Because apparently she couldn't choose between a bicycle or a motorcycle. She was driving around on her motorized bike. Is that a moped? Is that what that is?
I would assume.
I don't know.
She's kind of different, man. Don't you remember?
She really is. But she was found with the drummer of the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, yeah.
Apparently she's been okay all this time.
Yeah.
Sinead O'Connor with a history of emotionally disturbances in her life. We all remember she tried to take on the Pope. That failed. She should have taken a lesson from Donald Trump. But
that's like a Bigfoot sighting, isn't it? Sinead O'Connor
really
and Smashing Pumpkins.
She's okay, folks. She's okay. I actually heard this news driving home last night on the radio, Sean.
Oh, wow.
I was driving home, and all of a sudden I was listening to the radio. And it was one of those places where two different radio stations were kind of meshing with each other because they were both on the same frequency.
Oh, yeah.
This is why podcasting is so much better, folks. Internet radio, you don't get that.
They're losing money.
But two different radio stations kind of meshing with each other as we drove down the road. And all of a sudden, it was a news station and it was a comedy station.
Yeah.
So as I'm driving down the road, I'm hearing, we're still all getting news in about the Egyptian flight that exploded. No survivors found. And we would like to announce that Sinead O'Connor is not dead. She has been found. So that was definitely an interesting ride there, Sean. But I did manage to get all the news in. Sinead O'Connor is alive. She is well as she can be right now. Folks, stop worrying. Your Irish role model is safe and sound.
But she is living in the States now again.
She is. She is alive and she is in the States.
Okay. I didn't even know she lived here. I didn't know she lived here. I thought she lived somewhere exotic and was saving pandas or something.
Well, you know, I figured she went somewhere where bald heads were really popular.
Ah, that was good. Anyway, Nathan, we got to go to break.
We got to go to break. We're running late, and we got to get our guest on.
Tonight's guest is an American actor known for playing interesting and diverse roles. His amazing career has included works on such films as The Zodiac, Fargo, Gran Torino, and Shutter Island. He's appeared on numerous television series, most recently known for his role as Twisty the Clown on American Horror Story, and of course, the AMC smash hit for his role as Eastman on The Walking Dead. Tonight, actor John Carroll Lynch stops by studio. It's going to be a good one. Tonight's band, Demon Hunter, because on this show, we support the little man. We know. We love him. We love him, don't we?
We love him.
That's right. Tonight's band, Dirty Boy. Name of the song, The Audacity. Nathan.
Sean.
Shadow Nation. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
everybody, it's Dean Haglund, Langley from the X-Files, and for some reason, you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Trust no one.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio. Your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tonight's guest is an American actor known for playing interesting and diverse roles. His amazing career has included works on such films as Zodiac, Fargo, Gran Torino, and Shutter Island. He's appeared on numerous television series, most recently known for his role as Twisty the Clown on American Horror Story, and of course, as Eastman on the AMC smash hit The Walking Dead. Please help us welcome to studio one of my favorites, actor John Carroll Lynch. John, what's up, buddy?
Are you building a shed?
How are you, man?
John?
Am I building a shed? Does it sound like I'm building a shed?
It does.
Yeah, I heard something. Chainsaw, was it? I don't know, Bert.
Perhaps it was, I can't tell you. It's on a need-to-know basis.
He's cutting up a body, Nate. Haven't you seen some of these roles John plays? My God. But hey,
well, you know, sometimes I'm acting and sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, you got the clown mask.
Okay, how are you guys tonight?
Just tell us you were mixing a drink, because that's totally acceptable on this show.
Four girls.
Pretty much what I was doing.
But, John, I got to say, I know you're pressed for time tonight. Thanks for taking the time to come by studio and talk to us tonight. But
sure.
I know you're on set. You got some stuff going on. I don't know if we're going to be able to talk about that tonight. But how busy is your schedule right now?
It's been pretty busy. I just finished a little independent film called Anything, which hopefully will be out in theaters next year.
Oh.
And I'm about to direct my first film, which is exciting.
Nice.
I'm directing a movie with Harry Dean Stanton and Ed Begley Jr. and others.
Nice.
It's going to be really fun.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was doing my research on you, because I've been a big fan a long time, but as I was doing research for tonight's show, I thought you were with Eastwood on some directing gigs. Didn't you kind of assist on the directing or guidance of some of the films, like Gran Torino?
Under no circumstances do you assist Clint Eastwood in directing.
I just had to say Clint Eastwood because you've worked with the legend.
That's a clear line you do not cross, and he doesn't have to tell you that.
He just looks at you and go, thanks, John, for helping me out.
That's exactly – all he does is look at you.
It's kind of like your dad when you did something wrong. He didn't have to yell. You just kind of slunk away. And
yeah. You don't cross these.
Yes, it's like your dad with a Magnum.
Yeah. Go ahead, punk. Make my day. But you know what, John? A lot of people, they always jump into your career. But you were amazing long before your career. And I know you probably told the story 100 times, but I'm a huge fan. If you could indulge us and the Shadow Nation and tell us about you, because that's what we're interested about. Where, you know, growing up and your passions, and how was that being a young John Lynch?
Well, I grew up in Colorado. I was born in Boulder and raised in Denver, and started doing theater really early. I fell in love with it really early when I was 14 or so, and started doing as many plays as I could. I had a terrific time in high school. We had a place that called the Original Scene, which was an all city Catholic Youth Services, theater community, and did 4 shows a year. So it was really a full slate of stuff. So
John,
it was very exciting place to be.
Did you still get a ruler on the hand for talking out of line there, or? In college,
the Jesuits had abolished the ruler by then. They just did it with guilt and shame.
Oh, so they're the ones my mom learned from.
Yes,
exactly.
They're
well versed in those forms.
By the way, go Broncos! Huge Broncos fan.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's the best?
That was pretty. Pretty good year.
What's the best year for you, the best Broncos team? Elway or now? Manning era.
Well, for me, my favorite Bronco memory started with John Elway walking behind the guard in his first preseason game and his walking off the field with his second Super Bowl win.
Yeah.
That was a pretty great time. He was the guy who, he was a little bit slightly older than me, I think. And it was just, I could still vicariously think, yeah, that would have been my career if I had any talent at all.
Right.
When he retired, any illusions of ever having played professional football were gone. However, I did get to see my name on the back of a jersey.
Really?
John Lynch, and I just assumed I would be in it, but it turns out a Hall of Famer was.
Right. That Hall of Fame name, Mr. Lynch. Well, I got to tell you, I'm an Indianapolis boy, born and raised, so you're welcome. Let's just get that out
cool.
there, right there. Yeah.
Peyton, thank you.
Peyton,
I appreciate that. I appreciate your sacrifice.
I can't believe they traded. When we found out Peyton Manning was going, and then all of a sudden that night on the news they said, and Peyton Manning was seen talking with John Elway today out of Denver. Yeah, well, a tear came to mind.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Then we still got Luck. So they said he's back on the field in practice today. So we'll see what he's going to do this season.
Well, he's on the cusp of being a great one, and I wish him all the best. Yeah. And as far as the Broncos are concerned, I expected them, the way they played last year, to lose every game. It looked like they were going to, and then they just never did.
Right.
And then by the time they got into the playoffs, that defense was ridiculous. I'd never seen anything like it. So it was a joy to watch that last game.
And to see Manning beat Brady.
It was nice to see. Yes, it was not also nice to see some other young quarterback not in a Bronco jersey. Looked like they're dazed and confused.
Yeah.
We've seen plenty of that with Elway in his early career.
Yeah, you
so
guys had it.
It's really nice to watch somebody else have that problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Nathan, aren't you a big Fargo fan?
It's tough to say because Fargo is one of those movies, you know, now that I don't do drugs, I don't understand it the way that I'm supposed to.
I got it perfect.
That's funny.
How do you prepare for a role in a movie like Fargo? How did you prepare for that? How do you prepare for all your roles? Because like I said before, you're diverse. I mean, you, if you didn't want to be typecast, you're the perfect guy to talk to because you're different in every single way that you can be different in your roles. How do you prepare for each one, man?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm really fortunate to have worked with great people, both in terms of directors and writers and actors. And I've learned so much from everybody I've worked with. When it comes to preparation, the big change is in the material.
Yeah.
It asks you to do something different. And the challenges of preparing are always different. For that particular movie, I lived in Minnesota for it was about 7 years before I did that movie. So
yeah,
I had a sense of the culture that they were writing about, and they were writing about it nostalgically because they'd grown up there. And so they had things like, for example, there was a smorgasbord in the movie. And when the Coens were growing up there, there were plenty of smorgasbords. By the time they did the movie, there were none left.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to create a smorgasbord for the movie. But the attitude, the Minnesota stoicism, you know, we used to say at the Guthrie, when you did a comedy, you would say about the audience, they'd say something like, "That comedy was so funny, I almost laughed out loud." I almost laughed out loud. People who show their feelings. So it was nice to be able to reflect them well in the movie.
And that's kind of my point about understanding the movie. It wasn't the concept or even the story. I just couldn't understand what people were saying. It was.
Well, now I understand your drug issues.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes more sense. I apologize. I didn't quite get that until I realized it was linguistic.
No, I loved it, man, because you crashed on the scene in 96. You played the husband of Marge Gunderson, and you came in as Norm, of course. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, you've never looked back. I mean, from television, Drew Carey's show, to the AMC Walking Dead, smash hit, to the American Horror Story, smash hit, where you played a huge role. And I believe, I just seen you at Comic-Con, Nathan. I seen him probably 20 times at Comic-Con in Indiana. When we went there for the festival?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I seen Twisty the Clown. Oh. What's it feel like to be a Halloween mask?
All over
now?
The place.
Yeah. You're a Halloween mask. How's that
it's,
feel?
It's pretty crazy. A friend of mine sent me a picture of himself standing next to a Halloween mask. And the thing is that I thought I was standing there. I mean, it was incredibly lifelike.
Yeah.
The other part that was weird was when my nephew dressed as Twisty for Halloween. That was a little surreal.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife's scared to death of you. I told her I would be down in the studio doing this interview tonight, and she said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. She still thinks you're Twisty. You've ruined
it. You know, and it's such a – it's that iconic character. I mean, Fargo was full of those iconic scenes. We just – had an accident here in Connecticut that was all over the news where a young man, first day on the job as a tree trimmer, fell into the wood chipper. So everybody's screaming Fargo. And and now, you know, Twisty. And then you went on in The Walking Dead. You've got, you know.
It was really nice to play a guy who wasn't trying to kill anybody.
Yeah.
That was really a nice change for me.
Everybody was sitting there going, don't die. Don't let him die.
You hippie.
Please don't die.
You played a perfect
nice.
Hippie.
Don't let him die.
It was really nice to play that part. I mean, the writing of the episode was incredible, and Lenny James was great. And to learn how to do Aikido in about 10 days was quite a challenge.
That's what I was going to ask. When they handed you the staff, were you like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I was psyched. I mean, the people who helped, Stephen Ho, who's a, you know, he's a martial arts master, and among many other things, he plays one of the turtles. I think it's Donatello in the Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. Oh. So, you know, he knows how to use a bow staff. So it was a blast to work with him, he and Lenny and the stunt coordinator on it, because you really had to focus on it. We did a lot of work, and weekends, and we did a lot of work, but it was great, and it was nice to see that they used primarily, I don't remember how much of the stunt guys they used, but they used primarily Lenny and I in the fight scene, so that was really nice.
Of course,
and
John.
Is it true that the rest of the cast didn't know what you were working on while you were doing that episode?
Hmm. Well, what had happened was the fourth episode of the season, but it was actually shot in the place of the eighth episode, so... Because they do two half seasons on that show, everybody but Lenny had that week off. So they all finished their episode and headed out of town. But it was really kind of cool because, a couple of the actors came before they left for their vacation and were very nice and were welcoming to me, and that was very cool that they stopped on their way to the airport to say hello. That was very cool.
Yeah. And you learned to use the staff. Did you ever learn to make cheese?
Goat cheese.
No, I did not learn how to make goat cheese. But I will say this: the goat cheese they used was delicious, and I'm not a goat cheese guy. Yeah. I had to act that it tasted bad. It actually was quite delicious.
And of course, John's talking about playing Eastman on The Walking Dead, and you got a chance to play alongside of actor Lenny James as Morgan. How was that like, working with Lenny?
Lenny is a terrific actor to play with. He's a great listener. The episode was very much, it looked on the page like a one-hander of Eastman talking a lot, but in actuality, the quality of his listening and his presence made it a dialogue. And, that was really a joy. He is a blast to play with. There are people who, push you to your best work by focusing into a present place in such a pure way that you want to follow them there. And he's one of those people.
You know, like Nathan said before, you had such an iconic role and you're such an iconic actor. And you come into a smash hit like The Walking Dead. You're on for, was it three episodes or four, John? Was it?
On The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Or on American Horror Story. On The Walking Dead, I was on one episode. On American Horror Story, I was on four.
I thought it was at least two on The Walking Dead. Okay, one. I'm not going to argue with you.
No.
No, he was just referred to as the cheesemaker in one.
Oh, okay, the cheesemaker.
Yes, yes. Where did you learn all that? I learned it from a cheesemaker.
That's it. But, you know, John, you came in.
One of the many Easter eggs.
How does it feel to come into an established series like that, smash hit, and people are crying to get you back on. They're like, oh my God, you killed this guy off. He's an amazing character. You know?
Well, what would be great is maybe they flash back to Negan in prison.
Oh, yeah, you never know. Spoiler alert.
I'm going to pitch it. Yeah. I'm just going to pitch it.
Let's write
it. It goes. I won't tell you, but I'm going to pitch it, see how it goes. I'll just email Scott Gimple and go, I'm just spitballing here, brother.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Brainstorming.
No. It's a, you know, it was a real honor to be on the show. I mean, I've been a fan of the show, and I think it's a really well acted piece, and I like the fact that it is every week people talking about, you know, people tuning into a show that asks real questions of character. By that I mean about integrity and what it means to be, you know, if you know you're going to die, what's your life going to be like? What choices are you going to make? And I think it's kind of amazing that show is so popular. I think it's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, you're part of that, huge part. Now talking about pushing the boundaries of entertainment, American Horror Story hit the screen, and you know we were talking about your iconic role again as Twisty the Clown. What on American Horror Story compared to, you're going to say I can't compare them, but American Horror Story, how was that different from filming The Walking Dead? They're both in the horror genre. You know, how did you prepare differently?
Well, it's
mindset.
You know, with Ryan Murphy's Silent Clown, you kind of had to climb into his head and go after what he was seeing because he and Alfonso, who was the producing director, were the first two directors I worked with on that, and they were extraordinarily helpful in getting to the kind of heart of the matter with the character. Also, because they do such exhaustive research on that show, they quote tons of horror genre films. And the first scene I shot was a scene where I was in a park with two lovers, mm-hmm. and Twisty ends up making his presence known. And, in that scene, I was like, this looks really familiar to me. I wonder what, wait a minute, this, I've seen these shots before. Where have I seen these shots before? And then I realized, oh, they're from Zodiac.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're quoting Zodiac. They're quoting the Lake Berryessa murder in Zodiac. And I was like, wow, that's weird that I'm quoting a movie I was in.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't physically there on the days they shot those scenes, but it was funny to literally physically quote that movie. And then this past year when I played John Wayne Gacy, I'm sitting across the table from the Zodiac.
Right.
So it was really weird to, you know, they just know their business over on that show, and they are audacious in terms of their storytelling and in terms of the places they're willing to go. It is a fiercely brave show, and I really appreciate that about it.
Yeah, it pushes the limit, that's for sure. But, you know,
sure does.
With Nathan, I think you agree with me on this. With American Horror Story, you were in Hotel, and of course you were in Freak Show, which a lot of people are saying that's one of the best out there. But I wanted to talk, like, the passing of Heath Ledger, actor Heath Ledger. And you might, what do you think about the people, like Jack Nicholson said, you know, preparing for a role like the Joker? It gets in your head sometimes, and it drives some actors crazy, basically. I don't want to put that on Heath, man, because I don't know what happened. But what do you think about the roles you've played and the research you do and, you know, getting into that? Is that a real thing?
I think your mic is right up against the mouth there.
Mine?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Am I giving you heavy breathing?
Heavy breathing, yes, by yes, John Carroll
it's
Lynch.
Exciting,
I'm giving
it's
you
okay.
heavy breathing.
We just changed genres.
I apologize for that. This might be a different kind of show.
Yes, it is.
I'll hold my mic away.
No, it's exactly that kind of
show. I really feel like. Oh, good. Oh well, I'll turn on some music.
I can put some.
I just feel like, you know, I don't know why, you know, people don't pull out. You know, I mean, of roles and And I don't know what happened with Heath Ledger. I don't know him at all. I don't know what circumstances he was in. Or, you know, it was a tragedy.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a tragedy not only for his family, but a tragedy for people who appreciated acting. He was an extraordinary young actor, and he was going to advance the work of actors with his work and inspire others to do great work, and still does in his death. But it was amazing to watch that performance. It was truly terrifying. And I pray that didn't have anything to do with his demise. I don't know, but I do know that there are some roles that are hard to wash off, and those come around. But I also do believe, and this is really true, I believe that we're supposed to reflect humanity to itself. I mean, that's, I think, what we're really supposed to be doing in film, television, theater, in art. And that means also reflecting the things we're capable of that we don't want to look at. And better to do it reflected on a screen or on a stage and have somebody perhaps think to themselves, God, I hope I never do that. One of the things I love about American Horror Story is they elicited pity for the character,
yeah,
which is really the point of horror. Horror is supposed to terrify you, yes, but it's also supposed to make you feel pity for the people who are causing the violence. It's because violence in and of itself, especially in that genre, is pathetic.
Oh, yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old Frankensteins. They made you feel sorry for the characters.
Yeah.
The Wolfman.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Now,
on the other show, on The Walking Dead, you know, the metaphor of the walkers I have my whole thing about that, but I love that the walkers are really not the most dangerous things in the show.
Right.
And the most dangerous things in the show are the people. You know?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Nathan, didn't you have something there?
I was just going to ask, you know, these roles come along, and like let's call it a one shot. You get that role that just changes, you know, a perception of a show or how people see you, and stuff like The Walking Dead comes along and you get the one shot with it. But what about stuff like The Glades? If I don't bring up The Glades, my wife will kill me because it's her favorite show of all time. And I loved watching that, and I loved you on it. I was really upset you didn't have.
I have to say that was such a funny. That was such a funny read. You know, I start reading this Glades pilot, and they go, "Yeah, they want to talk to you about this guest star part." And I'm reading. I didn't know who the guest star part was, and I was reading it, going, "Man, this Ogletree guy is a really good part."
Yeah,
and I really. Why am I not being called in for a series regular on this? Why am I just doing a guest star on this show? And then you get to the end of the episode, it goes, "Oh, that is the guest star."
Oh no!
And you're like, "Oh no, yeah, no, I'll do that." Yeah, that's a great piece of writing. Because, you know, the audiences are really savvy, and they get the idea. Oh, this guy's going to be around a while. It looks like, oh yeah, it looks like he's going to be a series regular. Oh yeah, that's,
he's gone.
You know, that's not right. That's what happened there is not right. And I love that kind of writing. I mean, it was really terrific writing. So
yeah.
That sucked me in. And, you know, the first thing that has to happen when you're looking for work is somebody has to ask you to do it. But the things that I've gotten a chance to do, the writing has been so good. Brent, you mentioned that episode of The Glades, the first one. So terrific, that episode. Mm. And I thought, the episode of Eastman was one of the best written episodes I've ever read for any television show. And the boldness of saying, this is what we're going to do. We're going to throw Glenn under a pile of zombies, and next week we're going to send you into a place you've never been before, meet a person you've never seen, and have you sit down for 90 minutes and hear him talk for 90 minutes. And you know what? You're going to be happy you did.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's some bold storytelling, you know. And the same thing with American Horror Story. you set up this, you know, this terrifying clown, this person who is just, shriekingly terrifying. And then in 1 hour show, you provide for the audience, please don't kill that man.
Right.
And that's some bold writing. That's some really bold writing. And you do it in 3 episodes where the first 3 episodes, he doesn't talk at all.
And he gets his message across.
I mean, it's, oh no, you're clear. You're clear. You're clear what he's after.
Yeah.
He just wants to make those kids laugh no matter what.
They're going to laugh one way or the other.
Yeah, they're going to laugh. Oh, they'll laugh all right. Laugh, clown, laugh.
You know,
but I just think that's some bold writing there, man. That's some really bold writing. And I so appreciate the opportunity to play those kinds of things, man. I really do.
Well, again, man, you're like one of the few actors that I know of that can switch those roles. You can go from a horror icon like the clown, and then you can go to the sweet uncle type, I guess you would say, or father type in The Walking Dead. There's not a lot of people, because you see like Friday 13th with Kane Hodder and guys like that, they know the role. They're successful at horror. Mm-hmm. They stay in that genre. You know, mm-hmm. I just don't see how you switch gears so fast. It's amazing, and you bring it home. But let's switch to comedy, because talking about diversity and you're in everything, you're in one of my favorites. I mean, from Drew Carey, cross-dressing to Paul, you know. The first one with an alien cussing people out and flipping them off, you played the Bible-banging preacher father figure. And, well, you were a father. But what was that, like, on the set of Paul? I always wondered, how do you act with something that's not there? I mean, Paul was digital, right?
Well, yeah, Paul was digital, but Greg Mottola was terrific. The actor Joe Latrulia, who was in the film and now is very successful on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was successful before that too, but I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
And he's hysterical on the show. He played Paul on the set. And so you acted with Joe, and then you act and with eyes, and then you acted with nothing.
Ah.
So it was a three-part thing. You did every single setup with those three elements. And it's pretty weird. The weirdest moment of all that was acting with nothing and Blythe Danner's right next to me acting with nothing. That was pretty wild.
I'd love to see those tapes.
Two live actors are playing off something that's not there together in the same shot. And, you know, it's Blythe Danner. I certainly would have liked to play with her. But I'll tell you, that set was the funniest set I've ever been on. Pound for pound. That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I've never felt more like the slow kid. I mean, those guys are hysterical. Simon, Nick, Joe, yeah. Bill, Kristen,
amazing.
Jason Bateman. I mean, David Koechner, Jesse Plemons, you know, I know I'm forgetting somebody. But, I mean, it was like being the slow kid on the racetrack.
What was this?
I was so happy to be there.
It felt like the Emmys. Felt like the Emmys for a second. I know I forget someone. Cue the music.
Yep. Yes. I'm going to cue the music. I'm going to forget.
My
children.
I want to thank my wife. Rush off the stage. No, but John, like on this set, you said you do it in three parts, but let's say in the trailer, when you come out and you're like, you know, is my dinner ready or breakfast or whatever? And you see Paul in there. He's going through the wallet, trying to get the guy's wallet back. Is there somebody in there that goes, okay, now he's running out of the room? Or, you know what I mean? Guidance, direction?
You know, it's a weird circumstance. You know, you play the scene with Joe. Right. So you get an idea of what Joe's going to do.
Okay.
And then Joe goes away and they put focus marks with a C stand so you know where the eyes are, what you're looking at.
Right, right.
And then they take that away. So by the time they take it away, you've built the structure of the scene with a live person, which was so smart of Greg and so smart of Simon and Nick and everybody, because it just made it so much easier. And Joe's so good that I can't imagine that when Seth Rogen didn't, you know, did the voice, and he also did, you know, performance work in the suit
right.
to play Paul. I can't imagine he didn't watch all of what Joe did and just steal liberally because he was really funny.
Was he like in a
Joe
green suit?
Joe was really funny on the set.
Were they like in a green suit?
No, Joe was in, you know, I mean, sometimes he was in the clothes he was playing his other part in.
Right.
But he would be sitting there with, you know, on his knees and with knee pads on, and he'd do the part, and, you know, he'd play with everybody, and everybody got a sense of what the Paul's rhythm was going to be, and they did the scenes and all the setup, and then he stood off screen and did it well. We looked at a C-stand standing there with just two googly eyes, which was really weird. And then after that, because you know what they do? They not only have the googly eyes, but they actually light the set so that the googly eyes have a reflection so they know where the shadows and the light is in the eyes.
Nice.
Because that's where they start their animation, I guess. I don't know. But then they take it all away because, of course, they're going to put somebody else in there. But I did that actually, too, on TED 2. There was no one there. But Seth was behind the camera voicing it, and they used a totally different technique. And it worked great. Ted's terrific. I mean, the character, the animation is great, and Seth is hysterical.
Did he use the voice, John?
And one of the nicest guys I've ever worked with.
Did he use the voice?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no. No, he would ad-lib. You know, he would ad-lib off. He would ad-lib with people on a mic.
Man, you guys got to sell these tapes.
People would be looking at a stuffed bear. No, he was terrific. I mean, it's a really weird set of circumstances where, you know, the director's going over there and, you know, he starts putting on the, you know, the Ted voice, and then all of a sudden he'll cut back to his own voice and go, oh, yeah, could you take two more steps over to the left? Could you balance the frame a little? Okay, we'll go back. I mean, it's really funny. He's such a nice guy. I mean, I can tell why, you know, people, you know, he'll call people and, you know, call Liam Neeson and go, you got a day? Maybe you come do a little bit. How about a day? And Liam goes, sure, of course I will.
Right.
Of course I'll come do it.
And with Jessica on set, tricks. People were still looking at Ted's eyes. That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know, I mean, let's, you know. There's a lot to look at, you know.
Well,
and also it was funny to do a Comic-Con scene, which was hysterical.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Everybody dressed in the Comic-Con suits. Yeah. I had not done any conventions before then, and that got me ready.
Well, now you're all over the place.
I try to go. You know, I really enjoy it. It's very different to the horror conventions are, I mean, it's intense to somebody come up to you and go, hey, I've got my face on your arm.
Could
I've
you
got
cut
my
me?
Face tattooed on your arm. Wow. Yeah. And you really do. And it's excellent. Nice. Really terrific work.
That is permanent.
That's not going away.
Right.
If Sean ever meets Jack Nicholson, he can say the same thing.
Who doesn't have a Jack Nicholson?
See, there you go.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, but you'll have to show me your ass.
I got you, John, on one cheek and Jack on the other one.
And I hope we're kissing.
I clap you guys
I'll
together.
Put on some music.
Anyway, John, Nathan,
you
want to
know
you
what
got?
Occasionally comes between the two of you.
Yeah, that's so true.
I don't want to know it occasionally, and I also don't want to know what the dialogue sounds like.
I wrote it myself. Nathan, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know John's on a tight schedule. I don't want him to hang up before we get a chance to talk to him off air.
That's right. We do need to find out your schedule, John. You're talking Comic-Cons. You're talking events. We know what the programs are that you have coming up. You were saying. I did want to throw one thing quick out there. Turn, which is, you know,
yes.
A growing show.
Yeah.
Oh.
Terrific show. It's a great show. I'm really enjoying it. I really enjoyed playing that part of, you know, a British muckraking blowhard. He's fun. He's really fun to play.
Now, after working on The Walking Dead and hearing everybody speak in an American accent, and all of a sudden they turn around and they're all speaking with English accents, how does it feel to go on and get to do the English accent?
All I got to say is boom goes the dynamite. I love doing that accent. And it's nice that I got a chance to. Most of the time it's the other way around. It's nice to be able to do the British accent. I very much enjoyed it. And he's such a terrifically idiotic character. I just had so much fun. It was a license to steal, frankly.
John, how do you do that? I mean, as an actor, you got to be a genius to take all these classes and learn these accents, right? I mean,
Well, I mean, the British accent has been around for me for a long time because I was obsessed with Monty Python. You know, that was probably between that and I think I watched every Monty Python episode hundreds of times. And then the other thing I watched hundreds of times as a child was Blazing Saddles. I think I saw it 19 times.
Mel Brooks.
So between the farts and the British accent,
you can cover it all.
Baby.
Yeah. Are those coconuts?
I can cover it all.
Where will people see you coming up? Are you doing any Comic Cons, Horror Cons?
I haven't solidified my convention schedule. I'll know in the next couple of weeks, and I'll try to announce that on social media. But in August, there's a terrific film that I'm in with Michael Keaton and Nick Offerman and with Laura Dern. Wonderful cast, BJ Novak and a bunch of others, Linda Cardinale. It's called The Founder. And it's about the growth of the McDonald's Corporation and how Ray Kroc became the founder of McDonald's.
I thought you were going to say...
Really cool.
I thought you were going to say you and Michael Keaton were going to do a Batman. You were going to be Robin, maybe. I didn't know.
That would be some terrible casting.
To the Batmobile.
You just see me in that suit. Oh, that would be just no one. America does not want to see that. No one in the world.
Yeah, they do.
Oh God.
Sean and I have a TV pool. No tights. It's
bam, splat.
You mean while you're watching or while you're on?
Yeah, that too.
It's both sides of it. But John, listen. I can't tell you how big a fan I am, and I love everything you do, and we support what you do, and you're an amazing actor, and you're an amazing man. And if Nathan has nothing else, I'm going to ask you, could you hold on the line 1 second while we close out this show?
Sure.
Because I could talk to you all night, and I know you're busy. So, Nathan, what do you think?
Thanks. I think that you're right. We better close the show down before John late.
He's going to run away. Okay, guys, John Carroll Lynch. Oh, my God. That's it. There's another show in the books. Hey, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors. Stitcher, Smart Radio, Spreaker, Planet Paranormal, The SYL Project. Give some love, share some love. Everybody needs love. TheSYLProject.org. Attentive Home Healthcare. Good people ready to help the ones you love, especially if you're in Indianapolis, because that's where they're at. AttentiveHHC.com. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because
night, guys.